Psalm 122 begins with these words, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go into the house of the Lord.'" That would be a huge understatement this morning as I look out at each of you and know that we are all glad to be here together for the very first time since March 8th of 2020. I'm also tempted to say you are a sight for sore eyes, because indeed you are. As we come together this morning, I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, as always, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. Just a few important announcements as we get started this morning, and we are not going to overwhelm you with a lot of details, because one of the many things we've discovered during this past year of pandemic is that we have a hard time hearing too many things at once. So, a few important reminders. Fellowship following worship today will be outdoors, where it feels a little bit safer, where if you're comfortable doing so, you may take your masks off. But we would encourage you to be mindful of those you are near. If you approach a group of folks who feel more comfortable with masks on, be considerate of them. If you feel comfortable with masks off and are with a group of people who also do, then you're in good stead. But always be mindful of the fact that we are here together in community, and we want to watch out for the most vulnerable among us. Let me remind you also that next Sunday we will be celebrating our grads during worship and our dads, and following worship outdoors in fellowship, we will also have individually wrapped ice cream treats for everyone. I mean, where else can you get ice cream at 10 o'clock in the morning, right? So come to church and celebrate with us next week. If you have a child or grandchild who would like to be part of Vacation Bible School this summer, which is going to be an ongoing wonderful journey, Pastor Addie has written about it and provided a video as well. The luggage that you will need for the journey is back in the narthex, and you may pick up a box and take it with you for a grandchild or a child of your own. Also, a reminder, you probably noticed this as you looked at the order of worship this morning. Most things look pretty familiar, but we're doing a few things differently. Trust us to walk you through the service where things are different, so there won't be any kind of confusion. We will help you find your way. And finally, as you entered this morning, you were each given a card. It was one of many different colors. This will be the only Sunday we will be asking you to fill out that card. We're just trying to keep track of who has returned to worship and who has not yet felt comfortable doing so. When you fill out your card this morning, just leave it on the pew. You don't need to pass it anywhere. You don't need to turn it in. Just leave it on the pew. After you have left worship today, we will gather those cards and keep track of them. And that's all for announcements. I'm going to invite you now to take a deep breath with me as we prepare to enter into worship in a very special way. So breathe in God's presence among us. Pause to just shift gears so that we can focus on God in our midst, and breathe out all that is weighing you down, all that may be distracting you, so that we might be together now, fully, deeply, listening for God. Amen.
I'm going to invite you to take a look at your bulletin so that you can join me in our responsive call to worship. I will read the not bold parts, and you will be the all that reads the bold. We are together in person and in spirit, knowing that God has led us to this place and meets us here. We come with joy, anticipation, nervousness, and emotions we cannot even name. Carrying with us all that has been, We call upon the Spirit's daring that we might step into this day and this time of worship with mindfulness and hope.
Thank you.
Our theme for this morning, very appropriately, is flourishing. To flourish is to do more than simply survive or merely exist. When we as human beings flourish, it means we are growing, learning, thriving, being our best selves. Granted, flourishing this past year has required a Herculean effort, an effort too great for some. Hanging on by a thread and keeping one's head above water is more than many can manage. In so many ways, though, today is a new day, a fresh start, a day when we are reminded that we flourish best when we are intentional about staying connected to the God who created us and staying connected to one another. Of course, one of the very best ways to do that is by worshiping. And we have done that faithfully and virtually for 15 months. And some will continue to faithfully and virtually worship for very good reasons. But many of us have longed for the worship that transpires when we gather in this sacred space, where the whole feels greater than the sum of its parts, and where God feels especially close. So may the flourishing begin with expectant hearts and open minds as we worship now from the pews or the safety of our own homes in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Gracious God, experiencing life in all of its fullness is your deep desire for each one of us. You made that clear when you sent Jesus to live and dwell among us, offering us abundant life, heaping upon us grace upon grace, and filling our cups to overflowing with blessings this world cannot offer. You have created us to flourish, yet far too often we have settled for less. We have been content to get by the skin of our teeth, to exist, to survive. Forgive us, loving God, and stir within us a desire to reach for the life that really is life, and to remember that with your help, we have the potential to become all you intended for us to be. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the many reasons we as people of faith are able to flourish is because we have a God who forgives us freely, willingly, over and over again. All we need to do is ask. You have asked. The gift has been offered. Now claim it and share it freely in the days to come. Amen. Please be seated.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 6 through 10 and then verses 14 through 17. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have a confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, so that those who might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Even though we aren't quite ready to invite all the children forward to sit up in the chancel with me, we will still have a children's message. Because let's be honest, we all listen to the children's messages, and there's some good things to learn within them. So I do see some little ones out there. So this message is especially for them, but it's really for all of us. Well, this certainly feels pretty different, am I right? Yeah? Well, first of all, you're probably not in your pajamas, right? So that's a start. I haven't gotten to give a children's message to real live humans in a really long time. Even though we did this every single week before the pandemic, if I'm being honest, it feels like a new experience. Now, I bet all of you have had the experience of doing something or learning something brand new. How did that experience make you feel? Maybe it was your first day of school, which I know we really shouldn't be talking about at the beginning of summer vacation, but maybe you felt that new feeling on your first day of a new camp or a sports practice. Maybe you felt that new feeling when you met someone that you didn't know before, or when you've learned a skill that you have been wanting to learn. Maybe you're even feeling it right now, being back in church for the first time in a long time, seeing new faces, well, half faces, experiencing church in a lot of the same ways, but in some new ways too. Now, I'll be honest. When I'm faced with something new, I feel two different ways. On one hand, I feel really nervous. New things can be scary. We don't know what's going to happen, or if we'll have everything we need. We don't know if something is going to make us feel bad or feel happy. We don't know. And that can be scary. But on the other hand, new things can also be really exciting. And sometimes for the very same reasons that they're scary. When we don't know what to expect, anything can happen. And that anything can be really wonderful. Experiencing new things, well, it gets us all nerve-sighted. That's right, I've made up a new word for this momentous day. It describes perfectly how I, and I assume a lot of you, are feeling. And I don't think there's anything wrong with being nervous, and there definitely isn't anything wrong with being excited, so why not embrace both? We're nerve-sighted. I think some of the best things in life happen when we're nerve-sighted. It makes us really aware of what's going on around us. It opens us up to learning and growing, and it gives us a lot of energy. Now, all this talk of new stuff is reminding me of our scripture lesson that I just read from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, a passage of scripture that makes me feel pretty nerve-sighted, if I'm being honest. In it, Paul writes that when we are followers of Christ, and when we learn from and listen to him, we are made new. The world is made new. Our lives are made new. Everything becomes new. Everything. Wow. That's a little bit scary and hard to think about, but also sounds pretty awesome. See, nerve-sighted. I don't think Paul meant that new means that all of our stuff magically gets replaced, or we look in the mirror and don't recognize ourselves anymore. But what I do think he meant is that we get a brand new, fresh start, a whole new way of seeing and being in the world. We get a new way to see our neighbor, especially those that are different from us, from annoyance to love. We get a new way of treating our friends and family, from holding grudges to forgiveness. We get a new way of living our lives, from just getting through and living day to day to being grateful for each moment. A life of faith is a life of nerve-sightment. A little nervous about all the unknowns that lie ahead, but really excited to see where God is leading us, knowing that every time we do something new or learn something new or feel something new, God is in the newness with us. Today is a day for nerve site mint too. And that's okay. In fact, it's a really great place to be. And my prayer is that our nerve site mint makes us pay really close attention to God in our midst. I hope that it makes us open to learning and growing together, that it makes us really thankful to be here, right here in this moment, and that it gives us all sorts of energy to do new and creative things that God is calling us to. So, gather up all your nerve excitement and join me in a spirit of prayer, which we will end in saying our Lord's Prayer together. Loving God, you are always doing a new thing around us and within us. And that makes us feel a little nervous and a little excited, which isn't a bad thing to feel. Help us to use our nerve excitement to see you, to see ourselves, to see our neighbors and friends, to see our lives, to see our whole world in a brand new way, full of possibilities for greater joy and deeper love. All of these things we pray in the name of Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on each one of us. As we listen for you, open our ears, our eyes, our hearts, our minds. And in the midst of my words, may your word be clearly heard. Amen. Living as we do in a world in which bad news far too often drowns out the good news, I decided today I needed to start with the good news. That is, the good news at the heart of today's lesson from 2 Corinthians. In the words of the Apostle Paul, and you've heard these words already as Pastor Addie read our scripture lesson, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Eugene Peterson paraphrases those words in The Message in this way. Anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. The old life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. And the Common English Bible translation reads like this. If anyone is in Christ, they are part of a brand new creation. When we are in Christ, we become new and the world around us becomes new. What in the world prompted Paul to write these words to the Christians in Corinth? Well, let me give you a little background. You may remember that Paul started many churches in Asia Minor. He traveled all over creation, and because he could not be in all of those churches all the time, one of the ways he stayed in connection with them was by writing letters to them. It just so happens that the Corinthian church was one of his most challenging churches. In fact, they gave him a run for his money. No sooner would he solve one problem in their midst, and three more would arise. His first letter to the Corinthians prompted them to, well, rise up and complain. They were not happy with what he had to say, which prompted him to write his second letter, in which he challenged them to understand what it meant to be a follower of Christ, to be someone who had been born anew. And he said to them, in the words of Eugene Peterson, do not squander one bit of this marvelous life God has given you. But what does it mean to be in Christ? And what does it mean to be a new creation? To be in Christ is to be in relationship with the one we say we believe in. Being in relationship with Jesus doesn't just change us as individuals, it changes everything. It changes how we see the world and one another, how we understand people and situations, and how we respond to the needs of the world around us. We become new creatures when we are in Christ, and the world becomes new because of that. Last weekend, the Pennsylvania Southeast Conference of the United Church of Christ had its annual spring meeting, a two-day virtual event that featured as our keynote speaker Sister Simone Campbell. Sister Simone is famously known as one of the nuns on the bus. Perhaps you've heard of her. Not only is she a sister of social service in the Roman Catholic Church, she is also an attorney, a lobbyist, and an activist working on behalf of the most marginalized and the poorest among us. And she has made quite a difference. As we reflected together on what it will be like to rebound in the aftermath of a pandemic that still holds in its clutches much of our world, she encouraged us to be contemplative, to listen deeply to those around us, very aware that we have not all experienced these past 15 months in the same way. She urged us to pause rather than rushing full speed ahead and to listen, listen, listen. And remember, more than once I've reminded you that listening is far different from simply waiting for our turn to speak. She then urged us to embrace a holy curiosity with regard to those who are different than we are, with regard to those we may not like, you know, those who push our buttons, those who annoy us, those we would really prefer to vote off the island. She urged us to hold an open heart for them and urged us to pray for them. Many times I have said to you that when we dare to pray for those who embrace all the things we would stand against, those who really push us in the wrong way, those we border on hating, if not hate, that when we pray for them, things change. And while we may never have warm, fuzzy feelings for them, we begin to care for them, because you can't pray and not care. Paul also goes on to write about, in 2 Corinthians, the importance of remembering that one day, how we choose to live our lives will be something we will need to give an account for. One day, whether we want to think about this or not, we will need to stand before God and God's judgment, which is filled with mercy. But Paul reminds us, and I remind you also, we do not need to give an account for the way you, one another, is living. We need to give an account for the way only we ourselves have chosen to live. And I try to remember that over the years when many have felt compelled, and thankfully not too many recently, who felt very compelled to speak to me because they were concerned about my eternal well-being, persuaded that because I was a woman in ministry, that I might not end up in heaven. Because after all, the Bible does say women should not speak in church, nor should they lead, and, well, needless to say, you and I don't interpret Scripture the same way they do. But I've tried to assure them gently that they need not worry about me, that perhaps they simply ought to focus on how they have chosen to live their lives, and that ultimately is what God calls us to do. But back to this new day, these new beginnings, this new creation, I must tell you that when we first began identifying this date, June 13th, as the day when we would return to in-person worship for the first time since March 8th of 2020, I was pretty sure things would not be the way they were, that we would not simply be able to pick up exactly where we had left off, when everything that we knew that was familiar, church-wise and otherwise, had come to a grinding halt. You see, none of us are the same today as we were 15 months ago. Some of you have experienced the pandemic in very personal ways, losing loved ones, battling the virus yourself. Others of you have had your jobs altered or have lost them altogether. Still others of you have done your very best to have children and grandchildren navigate the world of virtual learning. Some of you have lived in isolation, and that has been challenging. Others of you have struggled emotionally and mentally because this has been a rough year. All of us have witnessed the pain of a nation torn apart. And hopefully, we have come to realize in no uncertain terms that not a one of us can make it out there alone. We must live and work and function in community, concerned about our sisters and brothers around us. As Pastor Addie and I began to get closer and closer to this day, we wondered how we would feel when we stood before you, and for the first time in longer than we can remember, there were actually people out here to talk to. What would that feel like? How would we feel? Addie's comment in passing simply was, "This is not that." And she's right. This is not that. This is a day of new beginnings. Those are the words we sang as we began worshiping together this morning, the very first words out of our mouths as a community of faith. Let me remind you of what we sang what we said as we smiled behind masks and some of us had tears in our eyes. We sang, "This is a day of new beginnings. Time to remember and move on. Time to believe what love is bringing, laying to rest the pain that's gone. For by the life and death of Jesus, God's mighty Spirit now as then can make for us a world of difference as faith and hope are born again. Then let us, with the Spirit's daring, step from the past and leave behind our disappointment, guilt, and grieving, seeking new paths and sure to find. Christ is alive and goes before us to show and share what love can do. This is a day of new beginnings. Our God is making all things new. Yes, there are things that each one of us must lay to rest and leave behind. For some it is entrusting to God's eternal care loved ones lost during the pandemic, loved ones for whom we could not properly grieve. For others of us, it is leaving behind old ways of operating, old ways of thinking, old ways of functioning, and identifying new paths. This new thing, as Pastor Addie has already pointed out, is both nerve-wracking and exciting. Nerve-sighting, yeah. And the only way we can do it is with God's help, urged on by the Spirit's daring. We can only accomplish these lofty goals if we allow hope and faith to be born again in us. Yes, I know that faith is one of those nebulous things we talk about in church. But for me, what is helpful is to think about faith in this way. Faith is not a blind leap in the dark, but rather a thoughtful walk in the light we have. And when we come to the end of all the light we have, faith says we can count on God to be there, to take our hand, to keep us from falling, and if need be, to teach us how to fly. I envision a God who day by day is indeed teaching us how to fly, giving us new life. This is a day of new beginnings, and I know you believe that because you are here to celebrate that with us. As we venture forward with care, with God's help, mindful of those around us who continue to struggle, may we always remember that it is together in faith that we will be able to do this one step at a time. May we trust God to guide us every single step of the way. Amen.
As we move into our time of prayer this morning, before I share joys and concerns, for the past many months, we have been counting on you to let us know about joys and concerns you would like us to lift up on a Sunday. Since the book that we typically write in is going to remain to the side for a bit longer just so that we can minimize movement and gathering, we're going to continue to count on you to make us aware of joys and concerns that you would like lifted up. So you can do that in a variety of ways, email, in person, call the church office, all sorts of ways. But of course, we will continue to pray with and for one another. So some joys and concerns to share this week. I'll begin with concerns. We keep Jamie in our prayers. Jamie is the cousin of Bev Fink, who is at Fox Chase nearing the end of her life and her battle with cancer. So we hold her and all who care for her and surround her now in our prayers. We also keep Barb Gassler in our prayers, who is in Doylestown Hospital and could certainly use your prayers for healing and peace. And a few joys to lift up. Elizabeth Morris, who is the granddaughter of Bill and Sue Morris, married Alec Freeman yesterday, June 12th, which also happens to be Bill and Sue's 56th wedding anniversary. So a special day for many reasons, and it wasn't a coincidence, but the specialness of that was not lost on any of them. So we rejoice with the Morris and the Freeman families. Also in the course of the week, Kathleen Siddell celebrated a birthday, as did Katie Morton. So we celebrate Katie and Kathleen. And I'm going to invite Deb Dayton forward. She would like to share.
Thank you, Pastor Addie. I'm Deborah Dayton, and I'd like to lift up a special joy this morning. Firstly, I'm just like kind of revved up this morning with excitement just being here in this space. It's being together again in these pews after being apart for so very long. So it's a special joy I have to share this morning, a joy that I want to convey on behalf of the congregation. So we're here together, but I'm also very aware that there are many folks in our congregation who are unable to be here this morning for many reasons. And so together we hold them in the light this morning and hope they know we miss their presence. So this morning I would like to express our most heartfelt thank you to the entire leadership team and staff and contractors of St. John's. Please, if you're here this morning, I'm asking these folks to come up front and stand here beside me. Reverend Sue, Pastor Addie, Andrew Paulson, Lisa Delp, Leroy Horst, Abby Lamp, Bill Berge, John Hendricks, and Chris Bodie. Good morning. Thanks. What an extraordinarily strange year we are slowly emerging from. COVID reset our thinking, tested our patience and spirits, and impacted our lives and communities in countless ways. And at St. John's, you don't just turn an organization around on a dime from an in-person to a virtual format without incredible commitment and focus from a dedicated team to work tough, work creatively, work with an open mind and heart to the possibilities, as well as eyeing potential pitfalls. What would worship look like and mean for St. John's in the context of sudden COVID restrictions? Entirely new territory for all. And the St. John's team navigated these choppy waters, the pressures, the challenges, with exceptional fortitude and teamwork and creativity, and no drama. Just a few examples. Creating weekly virtual Sunday services and organizing worship, sharing in-touch Tuesday videos, developing Sunday school carry-out connections for children, implementing virtual fall and Lenten Bible studies, developing virtual rehearsals and recordings for all choirs, and creating virtual artist series concerts, organizing remote children's choir rehearsals and virtual concerts, planning COVID-safe in-person holiday services for Easter, Christmas, and White Gift Sundays, creating special video services for Christmas Eve, Ash Wednesday, Palm Sunday, and Easter, training hospitality committees for services, sanitizing and cleaning Montessori areas daily at COVID-level standards, painting office and hallway areas, managing increased Facebook and online traffic, transitioning to remote bookkeeping and bill paying while maintaining security, managing increased calls and inquiries to the church office. For these reasons and more, Council recently held a special meeting and at that meeting approved a gift of appreciation for each staff person with the intention of it being a surprise gift today. We thank you for your extraordinary efforts in service to our congregation through this uniquely unsettling year. And now Council welcomes the congregation to continue to participate and contribute to the fund from which this gift was drawn, the Immediate Needs Fund. So on behalf of the entire congregation, a heartfelt thank you for ensuring that the church continued successfully through these uncertain times. We know. We know, just one more thing, that you pray for and support our St. John's congregation. You should also know that we continue to pray for and support you as you continue to guide St. John's into the next chapter, a chapter of new possibilities, a flourishing chapter. We are deeply grateful for your committed and creative skills and leadership. You have spiritually and practically guided our congregation through this last year with optimism and resourcefulness. You are a remarkable team of people. We are grateful for each of you. Together, you helped maintain a normalcy for us that we will not soon forget. Thank you.
Seems pretty unfair that now I have to pray. Just kidding, happy to do it. I do invite you to bear all of the joys and concerns that we've shared, bringing to mind and to heart all of the joys and concerns that each of us carry with us into this place and into this time. And I invite you to be with me in a spirit of sustaining prayer. For this day, O God, long awaited, we give you thanks. You have given us an enduring hope, one that has seen us through and kept us going, one that has led us to this very moment, a hope that meets us here in this nervous excitement and goes with us as we pursue the new things you have in store for us, a hope that calls us to reach further, to love bigger, to dig deeper, and to draw the circle even wider. We are very aware, however, that it is so easy to lose our grip on that sense of hope. We know that you are good, but there are still days of discouragement and frustration, days when we feel far from your presence and the presence of our loved ones. There is still loss and hurt and grief. Suffering still remains a very real part of our experience. Grant to us and to those we lift up before you this day a new and abiding vision of what you have done, what you are doing, and what you will do to renew us and restore us. We lift before you this day, O God, people who are experiencing life's joys and life's struggles, those with hope to share and those searching for hope, those who are well and those who are not. We pray this day for Jamie and for Barb. We give thanks for Elizabeth and Alex's marriage, and we celebrate Bill and Sue. We celebrate the lives of Kathleen and Katie. We give you thanks for the faith and the hope that has sustained us and the many people who have made that a possibility. God, in the midst of a world that is so often drawing lines to separate, may we be a people drawing circles of inclusion. May we be creative and bold in the new ways in which we seek to meet people where they are. May we continue to be the church in the way that we speak and act, and in the way that we pray for and with one another. We ask all of this, O God, knowing that you are our hope and our faith, a very present help in times of trouble and rejoicing. and the one whose purpose is to wrap all of us in your circle of embrace. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As you arrived for worship this morning, we invited you to place your offering in the plates by the door when you came in. At this time, we will dedicate that offering as we stand together and sing our doxology and offer prayer. Please join us. O God, once again we are reminded that you are indeed the giver and the gift. And your gifts to us have been abundant and overflowing. We express our gratitude for those gifts in the giving of our offering this day. Bless these gifts, O God. Bless the lives of those who have offered them. And bless us as we seek to use these gifts in ways that accomplish your work, in ways that make a significant difference in this world that you have called us to love and serve. All of these things we pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you.
I know we've had many opportunities to clap this morning, but I think it is not lost on any of us that this is Andrew's first Sunday in person, and we sure are glad to have him. Just a few reminders before I share with you words of benediction. And that is, again, fellowship will be outdoors. We urge you not to linger inside. The sooner you get outside, the sooner you can take off your mask and breathe a little bit. If you're going to stay to fellowship, please don't fellowship in the parking lot. We don't want you to get hit by a car pulling out or driving through. Head toward the grassy areas. Pastor Addy and Andrew and I will all be waiting until you've exited and then join you outdoors. We won't be greeting you inside because we don't want to create a traffic jam. So save your conversations for outside, not the aisle, not the narthex, but truly outside. We'll join you there. And remember to come back next week. We will look forward to that. As you go forth into the world this day, may you love deeply. May you share grace freely. May you serve selflessly. May you truly create beauty. Be community. Welcome the weary home. Receive God's power and glory so that we may truly be one. And as you do, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of his smile upon you and fill you with peace, now and always. Amen.